Welcome to season three of Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is indeed season three, episode one of Sticky Pickles, Nuptial Snafu part two, and Alston Christmas.
I have to do a part two, don't I?
Yes, you kept us all hanging for the last month. Everyone's on tenterhooks wondering what happens.
Well, I do know now what happens.
Oh.
And I can share it with you.
I feel like I should probably provide a recap of...
Absolutely. Please, give us a recap. Let us know where we are. Although, of course, you got listeners, you can always go back and listen to it, right? It's like 15 minutes of joy.
Do you have, like, some music that sounds very dramatic? Like...
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, there we go. Last season on Sticky Pickles. So for Nuptial Snafu Part 1, the story was about Trish and Paolo, who were getting married and were at their wedding. And in the middle of their wedding, there's the very dramatic, stop the wedding! I know a reason why these two should not be wed. And it was a mysterious woman who showed up claiming that she was both impregnated by and ghosted, jilted by Paolo.
Yeah, way back in university. Yeah.
Back in the day. Yep. And Trish is like, who is this person? And Paolo's like, I've never seen this woman in my life. So they go ahead with the wedding, but this obviously ruins Trish's and Paolo's wedding. And she's got like a nagging problem in her head. Like, who the hell was this woman? Nobody seems to know who she is. And she just fucking showed up and ruined my wedding. So she tries to get help to sort of move past this because no answers seem to be appearing for this issue. Because again, Paolo insists he has no idea who this woman is. So Trish decides to try and get over this as best she can. She takes a happily married meditation class. Well, she's happily married and then she's taking a meditation class.
She's not that. She's semi-happy married. She's not sure. Unsure. Uncertainly married.
That's true. She's got this big uncertainty in the back of her head. Because, like, what if this is true? And Paolo's still, like, pretending he doesn't know. And he knows exactly who she is. Anyway, so Trish goes to this meditation class to sort of try and zen herself out of, you know, freaking out about this. And when she's sitting down in lotus position on the floor on her zabuton, and she's... is waiting for the meditation teacher to come in, who should appear but the mysterious woman who made that incredible accusation at Trish's wedding.
Dun, dun, dun.
That woman is leading the meditation class, and her name is Petal.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trish, like, is going, oh my God, I'm so sorry, that's a you're going to meditate through this? What the fuck? And at the end of class, am I doing a good job summarizing this?
You're doing a great job. Oh my God, I love it.
At the end of class, Trish, like, stomps on over to Petal and is like, okay, lady, here's the deal. You crashed my wedding. What the fuck? And yeah. Petal basically is like, cool as a cucumber, like, well, I don't know who that Paolo guy is. I do this, like, somebody paid me to crash that wedding. I don't know you. I don't know him from Adam. And no, I definitely was not knocked up, but somebody put me up to it. But I would never compromise the safety and secrecy of my clients. I would never compromise the source and tell you who hired me. So, like, I'm taking that to my grave. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So yes, Trish knows that Paolo has not been unfaithful, but she does know that someone ruined her wedding on purpose, like paid
exactly
for her wedding to be ruined. And Trish is like, who hired you? Who hired you? Who hired you? And Petal's not saying. So that's where we were at, is wondering who would do such a terrible thing. Who would ruin Trish's wedding?
Okay. That was an excellent, excellent summary.
Thank you. Now
I just
happens?
Hope I can follow it. Okay.
Okay. What happens? What happens? What happens?
So Trish is determined to get to the bottom of this, right? Because this is her best lead yet. I mean, she is right in front of the woman who fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Right? She could, you know, threaten to ruin her social standing by going to the media or going hitting the socials and, you know.
I'm going to cancel you. How could you be so heartless? Yeah.
Yeah, right. That kind of thing. But it could backfire and make her even more popular because she is like basically a wedding exploder, right? So
yeah, who knew there was a market for this? I
right?
certainly didn't. Yeah.
So Petal is sitting there because Trish has kind of cornered her in the room. It's not a big room. She's kind of cornered in the room. And Petal's kind of cornered between like mindful quotes like accept yourself and live in the moment. and, you know, and go vegan or go home posters. And, you know, Trish could try and pin her against the wall and demand an answer, but Petal's like a head taller than Trish and wiry as anything. So
And totally nonplussed by all
and
this.
And nonplussed, right? Doesn't even realize how, you know, Trish is kind of building up steam here and she's not even noticing. She's totally, you know, la la land. So, okay, so what do you do at this point? Do you just walk out, Maria, or do you have any advice for Trish? Because
deck Petal.
Yeah, I think she's worried about getting decked back and actually not being able to get out of there because, you know, Petal's strong. It looks, you know, she looks wiry.
She looks like she's used to this, yeah. too.
Yeah, you got to be pretty tough in that kind of job, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
But Trish remembers that she has something in her bag that could work in her favor.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. So she fumbles her hand in her bag, searching, searching, and she finds it, and that's it. And she whips it out and points it at Petal.
Oh my God, is this in America?
It's half a tuna sandwich.
Oh,
and she says, you tell me right now or I will throw this tuna half in your face. Vegans do not like tuna. Okay? It's stinky stuff.
Let alone in the face.
Let alone in the face. And somehow this works. She goes, fine. All I know is they went by the name of Pee-Pee. It was an online transaction. Pee-Pee? Thing is, Trish knows Petal's telling the truth because she knows who Pee-Pee is. She knows who Pee-Pee is, a childhood name of Paolo. That's what his mom calls him, her husband. Trish shows the online messages negotiating the date and time. She's like, I never met him. It was all online. And it was just a few days before the wedding, this whole thing happened. And she doesn't recognize the phone number, the payment details, but she recognizes the style of writing. Because Paolo never uses caps in his sentences. He never uses contractions.
Yeah.
Right?
Could it be somebody pretending?
It could, but it's like she can just feel him out of the, you know, the short messages of I need this wedding. Oh. Da, 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 da.
I'm heartbroken. Okay.
Yeah. So she grabs the screenshots because she's going to need them. She's got everything now. She knows everything. So she leaves the studio, but she thinks, fuck it. And she throws a sandwich against the wall, right? Watching the bits of tuna mayo fly everywhere across the studio. Okay, Maria, you've got the evidence that your hubs ruined your wedding and shelled out $5,000 for the pleasure.
Only $5,000.
Only $5,000.
Only $5,000.
Well, $5,000 to the wedding exploder, right?
Oh, to the wedding exploder. They meant to the actual wedding. Okay, wow. Oh, wow, $5,000 for that. Shit.
So you're in your car. What do you do?
I would immediately get on the horn and call Pee-Pee.
Hello, Pee-Pee.
Hey, Pee-Pee. You're in DP.
You're in doo-doo land, Pee-Pee.
Deep doo-doo, Pee-Pee. Here we are. How many minutes in are we? Like 10 minutes in? We've already gotten to poop. Amazing how long it didn't take. Amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how on earth. Like, who else could you possibly talk to? Like, if it looks like it's him.
Right?
Then I'd be like, here are the receipts. And if he keeps insisting it's not him, I don't know. I'd start to question my own fucking sanity at this point. Like, right? What the hell's going on?
So, yeah, she does that. She goes straight home and she's like, sweetie, although she probably should call him Pee-Pee. Can I have a little chat, please? And he's like, yeah, what's up? What's up? She goes, shut up and listen. And she lays it all out. How she happened upon Petal and how she ended up revealing all at the threat of a tuna sandwich. And show the screenshots just to save him the embarrassment of even trying to deny it, right?
Yeah.
And so she ends with a, so what do you got to say? Pip, right?
Peep.
And do you want to guess first what he says?
I have a feeling he's going to double down and insist it still wasn't him.
Now pay attention here because you're going to have to tell me what you do in this itch, okay? You're Trish in this.
Okay.
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 He leans forward. He hides his face. He kind of like, he's on the couch, right? And he's leaned forward. So his like head's now between his knees. And he's like, I can't look at you as I say this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I did get someone pregnant my first year of uni. And when she told me, I told her to get an abortion, but she refused. So I avoided her everywhere. I basically bounced and let her deal with everything. I never told a soul. Thing is, it wasn't Petal. Her name was Rowena. I don't even know if I now have a kid. I don't even know her last name. And I totally buried this in my past. But fast forward, I find myself in love with you. We decide to get married. It brought everything back. Like, how could I let you marry me without me telling you this? But I couldn't tell you. But I had to tell you, but I couldn't tell you. And I was going mad. And then it was like days before the wedding, and I just hired, I saw an ad and I hired someone to stand up and say what I couldn't say. It's a lot to process. My first take on this is you fucked the wedding up though, dude. Like big styling, like exploded it.
God, there are better ways.
Yeah.
Like, did you have to do that at the wedding? Couldn't it have been like a quiet Friday evening or something? Like, just crash a date dinner or something. Why does it have to be the wedding? Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, then I panicked, you know, because like, she's like, why did you deny it when I've been fucking asking you? Right? I've been asking you.
Right?
Right? And he's like, well, I panicked. I suddenly realized what an idiot I was.
Yeah, yes.
I ruined our super expensive wedding.
Yes, you did.
And I thought if I just ignore it and play dumb, it's going to go away. I mean, what were the chances of you finding this woman? What are the chances of that happening?
I mean, okay, sure, but...
And he goes, oh, and one more thing.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Maria/Trish/Maria, I just want you to feel it.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, and I love you madly. Over to you. Over to you. Welcome to season three.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember what I was like when I first got married. And at that time, my husband was a saint. No, he still is, of course. But we've been married now for a decade, so it's a little different.
He proves it less often.
No. It's like there's an element of when things are still fresh and new, it's like there's almost like a you can do no wrong sort of sheen that can come over you.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me personally, I could see me going, you know what, honey, I forgive you. Let's figure out a way out of this. And swallowing my anger and it coming up in therapy like 10 years later. But because I can't say that's a good idea, but I could see that happening. Because like, it'd be great to be like, blow the whole thing up, nuke it from orbit. Fuck you. You lied to me. But I couldn't believe you couldn't tell me. And like, I know many people who would do that. And I think they're stronger people than me. I could see me being like, you know, I agreed to marry you for good or for whatever. I didn't do a vow at my wedding, so I don't know what people say at their wedding. I'm in this for the rest of my life. So let's figure a way out of this together, because like, that's literally what it's about. So I would probably be like, all right, let's get on, you know, crack those knuckles. Let's get on Facebook and find out what happened to Rowena.
Interesting. Interesting you say that.
Yeah. Because to me, it's like a $5,000 confession that he chose to spring on Trish at like the worst time. Fucking up their wedding, that was shitty. Like that was just...
It's one day though too, but it's big day.
It's a big day and it's in front of like everybody they know. Like I would be mad about that. But like the nature of what he's feeling, like the core of this is like he's feeling guilty about a hidden secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like, okay, that's actually something you can resolve by bringing it to light. So like, figure out what happened, and like, if you have a kid, let's find out where that kid is, and like, you know, be a parent to that child or whatever. So
Maria,
yes,
you and Trish are cut from the same cloth.
Oh my God,
she says, and I quote, "You are a fucktard. I hate you and love you right now. But if we're gonna make this work, we need to find this woman, Rowena, and your child."
Yes.
Find out what happens next in early October.
Are you doing this to us again?
Yes. We have a mini series.
Oh my God. This is a string of sticky pickles. Like, we've got like a sausage link of sticky pickles.
Well, kind of like life.
OMG.
Not bad, though. Not bad.
Not bad at all. In fact, not. But people are going to be sending us hate mail. Like, how are we going to do this if it's worse?
Well, don't you remember TV in the old days, pre-Netflix? You know, you'd have to wait the whole week or sometimes a whole season to get to the next bit.
To be continued.
To be continued. TBC, babies.
And now the continuation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're doing that. You're doubling down on it. Props. Oh, my God.
We'll see where it goes. Soap Opera City. Alrighty, Maria, you're up next. What is your sticky pickle Alston Christmas? Now, I don't know what Alston means. Am I supposed to know?
No.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to explain this. So the phrase Alston Christmas is a very real thing, and it's probably only familiar to people who either live or have gone to school in the Boston area. So very few people probably listening to this podcast know what this is. I'll explain it. Around here in this Boston area, the 1st of September is kind of a mini holiday because of moving schedules. So as you might know, in Boston, we have an unbelievable amount of universities. We have a ton of students that come in every year, and their school year starts in September. So depending on the neighborhood that you're in Boston, like two-thirds to like up to 80% of apartments turn over on September 1st. I actually researched this because I was like, I know it's a huge number. It's like, it's crazy. So, because leases are up, they go month to month generally, like the beginning and end of a month. So like your lease will go to August 31st and then September 1st, you got to move into the new place. So it's like, you got to figure out how to flip your apartment on that day.
That makes total sense to me because I live in Oxford, which is a very similar dynamic. So I completely get it. Like two-thirds of the town is owned by the university and rented out.
Yes. And the whole area kind of lives and revolves around student schedules. So it's September 1st here is always a very frantic scene of like out-of-towners and in-towners with all these big rental moving trucks and people moving in and out and like shoving things into cars. And it's a mess.
I totally see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Boston also, not unlike Oxford, there's not a lot of space here. We're not like most American cities where there's like lots of space for cars.
You're an old town.
Yeah. We're an old town. We're a pre-car town. So we're very dense, especially in the area where the students live. And often the front steps of apartments go right down to the sidewalk. There's no front garden or yard or anything like that. Like, it's just like you're immediately on in the public way. So things get extremely crowded in the denser parts of the cities. So like on September 1st, sidewalks and curbs are overflowing with like old lamps, ratty sofas, bed buggy mattresses, and all sorts of knickknacks and boxes of stuff.
Angry parents trying to drop their kids off.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's mayhem.
It's total mayhem. So in the especially student heavy Boston suburbs, one of which is called Alston, it is now known that September 1st is like heaven if you're a trash picker. Because a lot of students are like, fuck this whole moving thing. Like, if I can't fit it in one of these boxes in my car, I'm literally just abandoning it because I just can't take it with me. So stuff that they've only used for like a year, barely, like they're just leaving it on
like
the curb.
Kettles, toasters, that kind
but like
of stuff.
Even, like sofas, chairs, desks, bookcases, things that are perfectly fine or mostly still usable. Often something that the renter just can't take with them because sometimes like they've graduated and they're going back to like their other country.
Why don't they leave them in the flat? Because the landlords don't want them. So they can't.
They can't leave it in the flat, right? Because the next tenant is moving in. They don't want the other person's old stuff. So as a result, September 1st in the Boston area here is now like a sort of a holiday where you don't drive into Boston unless you absolutely have to because traffic is going to be terrible. But if you're a trash picker, you go at like off hours to get stuff that is in good shape. And this is now known as Alston Christmas. This is like what we call it around here.
I have done this, though. I have done this as a student. My brother and I found an old couch on a curb once, and we brought it back to his flat, and he had these really narrow stairs. So we tried to bring this massive sofa, and we got it wedged, like properly wedged for 3 hours. We couldn't. Yeah. Oh, my God. And we were so pissy with each other. You know,
and
I couldn't get up to go to the bathroom because I was stuck at the bottom, and he was at the top and couldn't get by to come down. And it was. So I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Okay. Alston Christmas.
We just had Alston Christmas because it is the beginning of September now.
Mm-hmm.
And when Alston Christmas was happening this year, we also had a hurricane coming through.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we didn't get it as bad as like what New York and New Jersey had with that unbelievable flooding they had. Yeah. It was just like buckets and buckets and buckets of rain all day while people are trying to move. It was just like the worst combination.
Sofas. Oh.
I want you to imagine that you are like a grad student age, like your early mid-20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two grad students that are roommates. One is named Henry, the other one is Evelyn. And they are moving out on Alston Christmas because it's their old lease is up and they found a new place that they love and it's a little closer to their university. And they're just trying to do what everyone else is doing right now, which is like move out, move in the same day and sort of hang on to what like remnants
keep the stuff
of
they love, get rid of the stuff they don't, leave it on
that's
the curb,
right.
Get the hell out.
And, and try to stay sane because this is like stressful as fuck, especially with this rain. So it's a frantic madhouse dash to get everything into the moving truck. Like they're shoving things into garbage bags that won't fit into boxes. And like Henry was a little more meticulous. He's a humanities student and he's like, I'm a little more chill. I'm a little more organized. I'm not saying any stereotypes, just he happens to be a humanities student. And he spent the entire previous week like packing carefully, wrapping all his delicates in newspaper and neatly into boxes, labeling all his boxes correctly. Evelyn is like, no, I don't have time for this shit. I'm always in the lab. So she's very haphazard. And rather predictably, she was up until like 4 a.m. packing and she still hasn't packed all her stuff. It's like everything is strewn everywhere.
And she's freaking out.
Yeah. She's flipping all of her shit. Like she's just like, I am not ready, but I gotta go. So like, I am just like throwing things down the stairs and hoping it just lands in the truck.
Yeah. So she's not yelling at Henry or anything. She's not like taking it out on him or.
No, but she's like quietly freaking out. Like it's
okay. Yeah.
And Henry, like they're trying to like do that delicate dance of like staying out of each other's way, but also helping when needed, but realizing they both have their hands full. So
yeah, I bet he's feeling a bit smug, even if he's not said anything.
He, I'm sure he is, but at the same time, he's got to handle his own shit. And like, they have a lot of furniture they have to move. Like,
They're against the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the moving truck's out front, Evelyn and of Henry's old apartment. They're running in and out, up and down the stairs, carrying whatever they can, loading things up. And remember, it's pouring fucking rain, buckets of rain from this hurricane.
Right.
So this whole process is like extra super duper annoying.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, so they're like on occasion slipping as they're going up and down these really old steps, like linoleum steps that are not well maintained because it's student housing. And, you know, they're trying to make sure those cardboard boxes don't get soggy from the rain and like shit starts falling out. Like they're trying to manage all this. It's just a total nightmare. So as you can imagine, they're both exhausted. It's like 9 a.m. and they're done for the day.
Yeah, they're going back to bed, but we don't have a bed anymore.
We don't. Yeah. It's in the truck.
And it's wet.
It's like, and it's also humid and it's gross. Evelyn continues to shove her possessions into like black garbage bags. And she's feeling more and more, even though it's like 9 a.m., she's like, she's done for the day.
Yeah.
And then at this point, if it's not packed, she's just like going to throw it all out. She's really sick of this. And she feels like, can I just be a monk? Like, can I just live out of a suitcase and like abandon all possessions of this world and just live simply? I'm never moving again. I hate this.
Yeah.
But they're almost done. They're almost done. Henry keeps reminding her, Evelyn, we're almost there. Like this truck is almost loaded. If we're going to take it like 5 blocks over to our new place and you'll
be so
happy.
Calm the fuck down and focus. Freak out when we get there. Yeah.
Like give me a hand with this TV, the furniture, the beds, the books, the clothes. Like they're just, we'll work on this together. And you know, many hands light work. We can do this. So they pedal the metal. They get it done. They're all loaded in all the heavy stuff. All that's left now is the place is mostly cleaned out. Are the little random bits and bobs left in every room that sometimes like get forgotten? Like a measuring tape or a roll of packing tape or random plastic wire hangers or whatever. Plastic hangers that you leave in the closet. You don't want to leave behind because that'd be rude for the next people coming in.
So like people don't even go in? Like the management doesn't go in and clean the flat before the next tenants come in?
Oh, no. The standards of a lot of these student housing is really terrible. So they're just like, you need to get out of there and clear your shit out.
Holy moly. I never had that, I don't think.
Like, there's no like a week where the landlord can do work. Like, people are moving in and moving out the same day.
Sucks.
So, yeah, there's this huge time pressure. So, basically, they're like, all right, we've done most of the hard stuff now. Like, we're pretty close to done. So let's divide and conquer. So Evelyn's like, you know, I'm going to do the final walkthrough. Like, did we grab everything from the kitchen doors? Like, did we leave some random forks in there? What about with the hallway closet? Maybe there's like a random coat hanging up in there.
Yeah, because you're not getting back in there. So yeah.
No, no, they're going to lock the door behind them and drop the key in the box and that's it. They're done. So Henry says, you know, I'm going to go get us some lunch. I'm going to go to the cafe a few blocks away that we love, get us some iced coffees and burritos. And by the time you're done with final cleanup, I'll be back with food. We can eat in the trunk front of on the way to our new place. Evelyn's like, sound good. I will have the plastic bag and I'll just start throwing things in. And I'll make sure that if it's trash, if it's not trash, I'll text you. It's good. It's all good. We got this. We got this. We're almost there. High fives. Off they go. Henry has done his good work. He's like, this move-out process was a pain in the ass because Evelyn's always so disorganized. But, you know, I got my shit done and I'm going to get some like delicious barbacoa burritos, and that iced coffee they make is insane. I cannot wait. Evelyn's got her trash bag and a broom. She checks every last drawer, every cabinet. She thinks she's good. Like, I think we're all set. We're done. Whew, time to go. So just as she's about to close the front door to the apartment for the very last time, she goes, you know what? I better just close the door while I'm in here and just check there's something behind the door to see if like we didn't forget anything. And lo and behold, aha, there's a raincoat hanging on the hook, which would have been quite handy this whole time with the rain. Like, let's not forget that raincoat.
Annoying.
Yeah, that was super annoying. That would have been really helpful like 2 hours ago. And then she notices like shoved in that little corner behind the door, like that like always like black hole of space, there's this weird old, like really old looking umbrella shoved in that corner. She's trying to open and it barely opens. And the fabric on the umbrella is super ripped.
Yeah, a piece of shit. Something in the corner.
Piece of shit. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, somebody must have forgotten this at some long ago party that we had. And like, we just never looked at it because, you know, we come in.
I don't want to keep this. Yeah.
No. So in the trash bag it goes. After she drops her key in the mailbox for the landlord to get, she tosses that trash bag into the big industrial dumpster out back. All done. I'm done with this place. On to the next. Happy Alston Christmas to everybody. Hmm. And she sees Henry walking her way, running, because again, he doesn't have a raincoat. The one that she's holding is his raincoat. And he's got those delicious looking iced coffees and burritos in hand. And she's like, oh, I'm so starving. I can't wait to eat. And Henry's like in between bites. So Evelyn, what was the deal? Like, you didn't text me. So I'm guessing you didn't really find anything interesting on the way out. And Evelyn's like, yeah, I found your raincoat, of course, and like a really old busted umbrella, which like I threw that out. And Henry's face goes pale. He's like, was it like brown? And was it sort of hiding in the back of the door? And Evelyn's like, yeah, I think so. That sounds about right. But it was really faded. I got brown. Maybe it was brown. And Henry goes, oh, no, that was my granddad's umbrella. That's all I have from him. Oh, my God. I can't believe you didn't ask me. You should have texted me a picture of it. I would have told you. Oh, my God. God. And Evelyn's just like
taking another bite of her burrito, waiting for
yeah. She's like, wait, are you serious right now? That this was like a precious family heirloom, and one, you shoved it there, and two, you forgot it completely that it existed. And Henry's like putting his burrito down and wiping his face and hands, and he's like, the more he's thinking about it, like the sadder he's getting. He's like, I you know, my bad for forgetting it there, but that's literally all I've got of my granddad. We have to get that umbrella back.
Well, she's like, I put it in that dumpster. You go crazy. I mean, my burrito.
Yeah, that's what she was about to say. And then Henry goes, you have to help me look for it because you're the one who threw it out.
Okay, I have a number of problems with Henry right now.
I thought you might. What are you thinking? You tell me.
Number one, if she is not good at packing and has proven that completely, you send her to get the fucking sandwiches. Okay? You do the final walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you say, hey, just don't close the door or throw anything out before I get back.
Trust but verify, right?
I want to say a last goodbye to the place.
Do a little Marie Kondo, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I find that weird. Like, I can see it happening, or I can just see the door suddenly slamming shut, and it's just like, oh, or whatever, you've left the keys on the table, you can't get back in. But that seems a bit weird to me. But also, yeah, why would you keep it in the corner on the floor? Behind the door, and and it's so important to him, but he's never mentioned it to her.
Yep, it happened. It does happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'd be like, Henry, I'm tired. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm exhausted. I did what you asked.
And we still have to move in. Yeah,
we still have to move in. I did what you asked. I'm going to eat my burrito now. It's pissing down with rain outside. You want that umbrella? You go for it.
That is what Evelyn also says, and Henry's not happy with her, but every time he wants to like yell at her and be like, but how could you? He just remembers like, if it was that important to me, I wouldn't have shoved it in a corner.
No.
And I would have packed
it. And I would have remembered to put it in the fucking truck. I'd be like, what matters to me? I am moving. Like, what do you first do? Go to your sock drawer? Like, who does that? No. He does that. That's what he was doing. He was packing for the last week.
Right. He was super Mr. Meticulous.
Yeah. Not really.
And he did not really. He missed a rather important thing, apparently. So Henry, as he's getting ready to get out of the truck, he sees the municipal trash truck coming by. And beep, 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 beep. Back up. Get those little arms out and lift that industrial dumpster all the way.
Well,
into
he should
the
follow
truck.
It. Get in the car and follow it. I guess the lesson here is don't be douchey in that situation, because, like, basically she does not have the skill to pack, although neither does he, by the sounds of it.
What was he going to do with the shitty old umbrella that he'd forgotten there forever? Like, one would argue if it's been there for a long time, like, well, you're going to repair it? What were you going to do? You couldn't even use it. It's not even a usable umbrella.
Let's say it was, like, his cat's ashes or something. Or his granddad's ashes that he kept in, like, a box, an old cigarette box. Quite a big one, a carton, an old cigarette carton.
Oh, God.
Right? And she finds that and throws it out.
Yeah, college students are very well known for traveling with grandparents' ashes. It's true. Yes. Yeah.
No, but then, is that like, is she a monster then? If he kept the carton of cigarettes behind his door that held his grandparents' ashes?
That would have been my thing. Like, if it's really important to you, don't put it in the common area, because stuff, like, yeah, exactly. Agreed. Agreed, 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 agreed.
Bobo move, Henry.
Bobo move. Bobo move.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Listen again next week, or check our previous seasons, or tell a friend, whatever. We're just glad you're here right now with us.
Well, we missed you all. We're so glad to be back.
We did.
I had a wonderful, wonderful dinner with a wonderful listener of our show who basically told us that he loves what we're doing and not to change a thing. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Torsten, for your support. That's so sweet of you.
Mwah.
You can get in touch with us by email at hello@stickypickles.com or via the socials. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And as always, you can find anything and everything on stickypickles.com, including how to stream our show on your favorite podcast thingy.
Yeah, you can even tell your home assistant.
Ooh, home assistant, play Sticky Pickles. I actually tried that the other day and it worked.
There you go.
Yeah, it was pretty thrilling.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye. Talk to you all next week.
Dun, dun. We are back.
Yeah, yeah. And now you know what Alston Christmas is. This is like useless information, but
yes, I'm educated. Today I learned.
Ooh, the today I learned. Oh, that could be interesting little segment. Yeah.